stand here in your presence. We pray, Lord God, that you will come among us again by your Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come now. Come with all of your quickening power. Come and be among us. You say we're two or more gathered together in your name. You are in the midst. So come, Holy Spirit. Come and touch us. Come and revive us. Lord God, there are those of us who need comfort, those of us who need healing, come. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come now. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And today, my sermon title is Be an Encourager. Be an Encourager. And to encourage means to give support, confidence, or hope. Therefore, an encourager is one who looks for ways or opportunities to encourage someone else. And certainly, we Christians should know about being encouragers. I read this article about an older man, and it's titled, An Older Man Becomes a Dad to Father, Becomes Dad to Father, An Abandoned Man. And this story could be either for a woman or a man. It happens to be about this man. It says, at a men's retreat, a group of 30 to 40 men of all ages sat in a room sharing joys and deep aches of the soul. A young man named Jason sat in his chair, his face buried in his hand, his head occasionally rising to gasp for breath as he sobbed, "Why didn't he want me? I don't understand why my dad didn't want me. Why didn't he want me, man? Why didn't he want me? What's wrong with me?" None of the other men in the room had the answer to his question. But most of us knew the problem. Young Jason was crying out for the acceptance and affirmation of his father. He was saying, "Am I such a defect that I am unlovable as a son and as a man?" What happened next was absolutely beautiful and unscripted. Phil, an older man in the group, got up out of his seat and walked straight over to Jason. He embraced him in a loud voice, said to him, "Jason, I'll be your dad and you are my son." From that day forward, Phil was involved in Jason's life as a surrogate father. Their relationship with one another deepened as the years passed. And although Phil didn't pay for Jason's college tuition or his room and board, he was present to pray with Jason, take him to lunch, listen to his struggles, and share his wisdom with him. "During one of my last conversations with Phil," says the writer, "before he died, we talked about his relationship with Jason. At one point, he lifted his head and with passionate conviction and said, 'You know, Jason is my son.' I nodded in affirmative and said, 'I know.' Phil became a tangible expression of our Heavenly Father's love for a young man who felt unwanted and unworthy of his natural father's love. And so this word of encouragement from this older man was able to change this young man's life." You know, there's a song that Josh Groban writes, "You Raise Me Up." The word says, "When I am down and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. And I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. There is no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But then you come, and I am filled with wonder. Sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. And I am strong when I'm on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. We all experience times and situations when we need an encourager. Someone who lifts us up if we're down. Motivates us to keep going when we want to give up. And stands with us through every challenging circumstance. What's more, each of us needs to be an encourager to someone else. There are people all around us who are discouraged and could use a word of comfort or an act of kindness. Whether friends, family members, acquaintances, or strangers, we could make a tremendous difference in someone's life and give them a glimpse of Christ as we follow his example of compassion and kindness. What's more, each of us needs to be an encourager to someone else. You know, friends, we who are Christians are truly called to be encouragers. It's called a ministry of encouragement. It is so easy in a world of unkindness. It is so easy in a world where to tear someone down, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or all the other means of technology, has become the norm. But we who are in the church are outside the norm. We are called to encourage. We are called to give a good word to someone. It always amazes me in the church, always amazes me in many churches, when you go and you're there, and there are people you say good morning to who never speaks a word to you, who will look at you as if you never existed, or who never says good morning to you unless you first do it. That's not what the church is about, or followers of Jesus Christ. You know, when we come to church, our responsibility is not one of critic. It is not for us to be critics. We're not at a movie or at the theater or at a Broadway performance where people are paid tons of dollars to perform. We're here to worship the Lord and to encourage our brothers and sisters who are here, because we certainly don't know what they're going through. We don't know the word that they may need. I remember a pastor used to say at this other church, in the AME church that I attended years ago, and he used to always say, this young pastor, why don't you give someone a hug next to you? Because the first hug they get, or the only hug they ever got, may be yours. Or give them a handshake, or scream, because they may have not had a contact with someone else from anywhere. Some people live alone. People are going through trying times. And we, as Christian believers of Jesus Christ, the great encourager, the one who says, come to me who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what he says. Even when Jesus is hard, when he's telling you not to do something, he's always at the end encouraging. When the lady was sick, he says, take courage. For 12 years, she had been bleeding. He says, take courage. Your faith has made you whole. He's always encouraging, giving a word. Yet, we as Christians, if you come to church, you know, sometimes we're beat up on our jobs or in the world. But if you come to church and you can't feel like you get encouragement, it's not a good feeling. It is always easy to criticize, to find fault. You know, a psychologist once said, when you're pointing to someone about what they haven't done, you know, as we point, you haven't done this, you haven't done that, the thumb, you ever know we point as our pointing finger? The thumb is always pointing back on us. Right? When we're pointing, well, you haven't done that, and you haven't done that, and I don't like how you do that, and I don't like how you do that. The thumb is pointing back on us to say, now, what have you done? And if someone else was to look at your life and what you're doing and critique you, you wouldn't want it. Every day and everything you do, every move you make, someone has something to say that is not good. I want to tell Christian believers that it will make you feel better, make me feel better, make all of us feel better, when we become encouragers. When you give someone a kind word, make us feel better. Trust me, it brings joy to your soul. I shared with the church yesterday that when I went down to, I was giving them a joke that I couldn't find Noreen. I says, how could a hospital lose Noreen? I went up to, I didn't call the hospital on the other, but my mind was on her, and I was at a retreat, and I asked Ray to go visit her, because she has been in so long, you know, now she has a pacemaker in, and that seems to be working. So I came back, and on Friday, I says, I got to go see Noreen. I just see how she's doing, because I know she doesn't have a big family, you know. She doesn't have children and grandchildren. So I didn't call the hospital, because I just assumed, because the day before, Akia told me, he had checked on her, and she had been in the hospital. So we get to the hospital, and they said to us that Noreen, she had been discharged, and she's gone home. So I said to the nurse, I don't know which home you sent her to, but it's not her home, because we're coming from there. Because I had called Rose and says, do you need to go and see Noreen? Because she was asking about her dog. So they kept saying they didn't know where she was. I says, in this big hospital, you lost her? They couldn't. Ultimately, then they finally went online, when the nurse came, the supervisor, and said they had released her late in the evening, because I had gotten there at like 7 in the evening, and they must have sent her like at 6 to the rehab down here. And Noreen doesn't have her phone with her, so who's she going to call? So I said to the hospital, don't you all have somebody's number? You have somebody's number? Why don't you call one of us? Call to tell us that she's... So poor Noreen, I called her from the hospital, and she sounded weary. She says, I'm so tired, they just brought me here. So I said, Noreen, I'm going to come on Sunday to see you and bring you some cookies. Because she loves cookies, you know. And so, but yesterday I thought about her after I came back from the funeral, and I said, I'll go see her. But when I went there, she was in a room with another lady, and she looked, you know, weary, but she was fine. She was up in her chair. And so I started telling them the story. I says, Noreen, you know, I went to I saw the bishop, and he's 6'7", and he's gorgeous. I says, and I'm telling Noreen this, and the two ladies, the two older ladies, and I said, you know, if he wasn't married, I would run off with him. And so I'm talking to her, and Noreen and the lady just started to laugh. They just started to laugh, and she says, Pastor, you know, you lighten my spirit. No, it wasn't anything biblical I was telling them. It wasn't a word from the Lord. I was just sharing my wanting to run off with the new bishop. But it encouraged her spirit. She was asking me about the new bishop, and I said, he's so good looking. I says, he's not super handsome, but he's attractive. And I says, we all are talking about it. You know, we have a new bishop, so, you know, we always critique them. And he has a lovely wife. But Noreen, it just lightened her spirit. She says, oh, Pastor, that's why I'm glad when you come, I feel better. It is just a word of encouragement. And I says, Noreen, you're going to be all right. You're going to get out of here. Just do what they say, and it's going to be all right. And we will come by and see you and sort it out. Because she really doesn't have family calling her and checking on her, which bothers me a lot. But that's another story. But certainly...
Your sermon is recorded.
Please don't let the bishop hear. Lord knows. We'll have to erase that. But anyway, we won't put that online. But anyway, so you know, she needed a word of encouragement. You know, sometimes a good laugh will just encourage your spirit. And the other lady was Jewish, and I had on my collar, and she says, "Are you a priest?" And I says, "Yes, but a different kind of priest. We do talk about falling in love and running off with people. So, not like the other priests." And so they had a good laugh, these two old ladies. They were remembering their youth. They had a good laugh. A word of encouragement. Encouraging our souls. And so this letter from Paul. Paul is encouraging young Timothy. I need a word of encouragement. All of you need a word of encouragement. We all need to hear when we do something good, right? Nobody does everything wrong, and nobody does everything right. Nobody. You may think you do, but you're kidding yourself. And some of us, our children, have lived miserable lives. Grown-up folks, we are parents and grandparents, because we have laid some heavy burden on our children. There are some of us who come to church all the time and serve in the church, and our children have never heard a word of encouragement from us. You know, some of us have not done what we should have done in our lives, and then we have these children, and we want them to live out our expectation, and we tear them down. We never said, you know, we want them to be this, and Lord knows if they do something else, we never say, good job, or you've done your best, and I love you, and you're trying. We just don't. We're just on them and on them as if we are these perfect people. John Wesley says we're going on to perfection. And when we read, none of us are going to reach perfection here on earth. And church members, brothers and sisters, leaders in this church, let's be encouragers of each other. Let's encourage each other in the faith. There is enough hardship in the world. We don't need to beat upon each other in the church and become church critic. We need to become believers in Jesus Christ. And so Paul begins this beautiful letter, and what a writer of letters Paul is. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God for the sake of the promise of life that is Christ Jesus. And he says to Timothy, my beloved. You know, when our other bishop used to always call us beloved. Bishop Mackley, you passed away. When we were meeting, we always say beloved. Because it's in the text. When we come together, our new bishop said, he says, pastors, I want to encourage you in the Lord. You know your work is hard, and we want to be able to do that. And then he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And this letter, 2 Timothy of Paul to young Timothy, is entitled Thanksgiving and Encouragement. It's about a ministry of encouragement. And we should all take up that ministry. He says, I'm grateful to God whom I worship with a clear conscience, as mine says. He said, when I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. Can you imagine if you go up to someone and says, in the church, he says, no, I've been praying for you day and night. I think of you constantly when I remember you. He said, and he tries to encourage him, he says, and I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. He's trying to say to him, Timothy, your faith that you have started with your grandmother and your mother, so I'm encouraging your faith. You got it. It was handed down to you. Your mother was a believer. Your grandmother was a believer. Hang on, young Timothy. You get in a position. He's getting some hard time in the church. He's half Greek and half Jew, and he's getting hard time in the early church. And he's trying to encourage him. He said, for this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying down of my hands on you. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and love and self-discipline or sound mind. You know, he apparently, you know, Timothy had a lack of confidence, and that was a serious problem for Timothy because he was young and the other elders were older. And so he said, come on, Timothy, God did not give you a spirit of fear. You could trust God, but rather a spirit of love and sound mind. And Paul, who is in prison, he's really trying to encourage Timothy. When have you and I ever encouraged someone that way? Do we make an effort, friends, to encourage each other? To say a kind word? To say something that makes somebody feel good? And I don't mean to, you know, we're saying it to our loved ones because they live at home with us, and some of us don't even do that. But do we ever just say something nice to someone? And it's truth. You know, oh, that was good. You know, this beautiful little thing you did here for the altar. You know, the altar gift. I guess it must be Mrs. Nanini who did it. Kathy, I forgot your first name for a minute. See how tired I am? Oh, that's beautiful, right? It shouldn't always be that you or somebody else who did it.
Read the flower dedication.
And I should read the flower dedication. Praise the Lord, and I shall.
No, read it.
Yes, I will, like you want me to read it now. Soon. Okay, we'll do. And so, you know, and so you want to say thank you to folks. Thank you for serving. Thank you. And it shouldn't be that you should be the recipient always of the thank you. Right? We want to be encouraged so that we can be encouragers. Right? When you're encouraged, it's not just on the other side. And everybody gets hurt. Everybody has blood running through their bodies. All of us. All of us have feelings. All of us got, you know, so it is not a good thing to always take the time to find fault with every single thing that somebody does. It's not a good thing. It tears down the spirit. It breaks the soul. You don't know what the person is going through. Paul is reminding that. He's telling him, he says, do not be ashamed of serving the Lord. Hold to the standard of the sound teaching that you have heard from me, and be in faith, and guard the good treasure entrusted to you. We need to encourage each other, church. We need to be like Paul and encourage those who need encouragement. God has called Christians to be encouragers. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build up each other. That's from the Bible. Let us encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily. And although God has commanded us to encourage one another, sometimes we do the opposite because we're human beings. So we discourage one another instead of encourage one another. We concentrate on people's weaknesses and faults instead of their strengths. Believers in Christ, we should be looking for people's strength, because which one of us don't have weaknesses and faults? This morning, Christian believer. The next point is we criticize others instead of complimenting them on their good qualities. We tear down instead of building up. My mother used to say, and you might have heard this, that sometimes, you know, if you give somebody a half a glass of milk, there are those who would not say thank you for the half a glass of milk. They says, why wasn't it full? Right? And there are others who would say thank you for the half a glass. And my mother always says, always be mindful to be thankful for the half a glass that they gave you, because you didn't have to get any. Be thankful. Live a life of thankfulness. Do not tear down each other. And here are 3 points regarding encouragement that I hope will inspire us to be encouragers and not discouragers. First, why should we encourage each other? By being an encourager, we can change someone's life. By being an encourager. Do you know yesterday when we were here, about 40 of us downstairs, we opened up our church for the disaster response, because if we have a bad hurricane or so on, you know, the United Methodist is big on that. So after we are done, Ellen might have been standing next to me. There was a pastor. She's been here a year out in Dixiel or somewhere on the island. And I said to her, I'd seen her face before, and I says, how are you doing? You know, because I'd seen her, really not talked to her. And she says, oh, I'm not doing well. She didn't get into details. She just says, I'm having a hard time. And right away, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, you got to call her. And I says, you know what? I have promised to call you when you first came down here. I've been busy, and forgive me, but I am going to call. I couldn't remember her name, but I know the church, and I went online, and I don't know what the hardship is, but she's going to. So I hugged her, and I says, I'm praying for you, and I'm going to call so we could have something to eat and talk. Everybody needs that. Needs someone. You don't know what they're going through. This young man who felt like his father didn't want him needed a word of encouragement. Second, how do we encourage others? We need to look for the best in people and not the worst. Look for the best in them. Find it, because the devil, the enemy, the world wants us to see the worst in people. We as Christians, we should look for the best in people. That's what Christ does. He looks for the best in us. Christ looks for the best in us because we are messed up many times. I am messed up many times. Certainly, if God was looking for the best in me, looking for the worst in me, he would never have called me into ministry. Because he would have said, you did that and you did that and you did that and you came. That's what he would have said. But no, he looked for that little piece of me that is the best in me. And says, yes, I could use that person. I could speak for myself because I know that I got good stuff and bad stuff. Not like the rest of you are all good. You know, you're better than I am.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's good to know. I have something to aspire to. I'm going to aspire to be like Susan. Praise God. You know, look at the best of the worst in us. Third, look for opportunities to encourage others. When someone does something good in your eyes, simply tell them. It will make a world of difference to that individual. Simple, tell them. Do not begrudge giving kindness to someone else. And it doesn't need a lot of faith. That's what Jesus is saying. The disciples were asking, how much faith do I need? Could I get enough faith to do things for you, Lord? That's what they were asking. And Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you don't need a lot of faith to encourage someone. You don't have to wait till they're sick to encourage them. You know, we think we're encouraging people when, you know, we pray for them when they're sick. And we pray for them when they're grieving. No, I'm not. Yes, we have to do those. Those are comfort and compassion. I mean, encourage them through their life, everyday life. Just encourage each other in the Lord. Because God will certainly appreciate that for us. And we ourselves need encouragement. Now, this is a card here, which I don't know where it is. It's here, right, somewhere.
Oh, it's in the bulletin.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. I was wondering if it was still here, but I never read the prayer. This must be, maybe somebody has won the lottery and they're going to bless the church. I don't know, but here, and it's in the bulletin itself or in the announcement? Oh, page 2, flower dedication. I never normally read that. Oh, that's why. Thank you. These flowers are presented to the glory of God in honor of Pastor Nunes for clergy. Appreciate them. Given by the congregation. Well, thank you. And I never saw this. And Zamzam, did you saw it this morning? Never saw it. Never mentioned it. Well, I thank you. Thank you for your kind words. Yes. Amen. And I never saw it. So I thank you for your words of encouragement and for your prayers. And certainly it is my privilege and my honor to serve you. That God would want to use me surprises me every day and blows my mind. So I'm forever grateful to God. And I thank you. And I thank you all for, you know, the time among you, and I pray God's blessing upon us. And so this will stay with me, won't it? And I will remember it as I am overseas. I will remember it, and I will remember it always, because this word has encouraged my heart. And hopefully I will encourage you and continue to encourage you. You know, the Lord corrects us, but the Lord also encourages us. And as I said, we don't need much faith to do that. We just had to go forth and encourage someone. So if you have not encouraged anyone today, this is your opportunity to do so.
Right? Encourage someone. Go home and tell your kid how wonderful they are. Even if they didn't take out the garbage. Tell them that you love that God gave them to you. You love that they are a gift in your life. Right? And that could may just make them feel better for that moment. Thanks be to God for his grace.